If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today, we're diving into a topic that hits close to home for so many of us, getting unstuck in your careers. So if you've ever felt like you're in a rut or unsure of what to do next, we're going to have the perfect guest to help us navigate those tricky waters. So get ready for some game-changing insights and a whole lot of inspiration. And I am so excited to be talking today to Lauren Young Durbin, who is a career clarity coach dedicated to helping women get unstuck in their careers. She works with mid-career women, collaborating to find lucrative, fulfilling, and meaningful careers that help them realize their full potential. And when you work with her, you'll have a partner and advocate in an accelerating career transformation journey, one that will leave you feeling more confident and equipped for success than ever. She will provide you with the support, accountability, and actionable steps that you need to pursue the career of your dreams. Let's get started. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I am so excited for our conversation today.
Yeah.
And I always love to start my conversations off with talking about the sparkotype. The sparkotype assessment is one that I use a lot in my work. And the sparkotypes originated from the decades-long experience of award-winning author, teacher, founder, and business advisor, Jonathan Fields, who describes the sparkotype as the unique imprint for work that makes us come alive. And I love using this assessment tool so much because the more someone's work aligns with their sparkotype, the more likely they are to feel energized, excited, sense that what they do matters, experience flow, and be fully themselves and able to perform at their full potential. Mm-hmm. For anyone who is not familiar with the sparkotype assessment, you can take it for free on sparkotype.com. And Lauren, I can't wait to dive into your profile.
Yeah.
So there is a primary sparkotype, a shadow sparkotype, and the anti-sparkotype. I'm going to start with the primary, which is the strongest impulse for work that makes you feel excited, inspired, and on purpose. And for you, that is the maven, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it was funny to see that. I for some reason, I thought it was maverick. I'm like, oh, wait, I only got the first three letters right. But yes, it definitely fit.
Exciting. And for our listeners, the maven, that is one of the sparkotypes, and the maven is all about learning. So mm-hmm. It is having that lifelong desire to learn, to know, to keep going, to become wiser, and being fueled by the near primal drive to know more.
Yes.
And it resonates for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm constantly talking about books, the books I'm reading, books I'm going to read. I'm on a trivia team.
Love it.
So yeah, I was like, oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And is it the process of learning that you just are in this flow and you can just keep going forever and ever?
Yeah. I like learning and knowing things and just acquiring knowledge. And what I liked particularly about it, they were saying it's not even like sharing it or being like a smarty pants or anything. I just like knowing things, which is why I love trivia.
That's awesome. That is so amazing. And I'm sure in your current role as a career coach, there's also a ton of opportunities to fuel that drive for learning. Is that one of the things you love about the work you do?
I do, because I'm a big history buff, but I'm also really interested in people and their story. So I always tell people, I'm like, when you're networking, like when you run out of things to say, just ask the person about themselves. And so I'm always interested in hearing like what's going on with people. It has, even outside of coaching, but it's a particularly useful interest to have, is to be interested in what people's stories are and hearing what they're saying and not saying. So yeah, it's definitely very useful in coaching.
That is amazing. And your shadow spark archetype. So the shadow spark archetype is often the work you do in order to be able to do the work of your primary at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And for you, that is the warrior, right?
Yes.
So warriors are all about gathering and leading. Warriors yearn to gather people, organize them, harness their collective energy, assume responsibility, and make decisions so that you can lead them on some form of a meaningful, fun, or challenging quest, experience, mission, or adventure. And you're often willing to stand in a place of enduring conviction and support so you can lead others through hard things. You lead as an expression of devotion and service, and it's often about the people you serve and lead that spark you. Does that resonate with you as well?
100%. It was kind of eerie, actually. yeah, it was funny. I was telling someone, like, I didn't even realize I was a leader. They're like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm like, I don't know. I just see things that need to be done, and so I just help people do them.
That is amazing. And that is what I love so much about the spark archetype. So a lot of people, it has over 90% of people resonate with their spark archetype, which is really incredible compared to any other assessment. And it's often the like, wow, this is gets me on a deeper level. Like I the first time I took it, I was like, whoa. And it's things that come to us so natural that we don't even think about it as a thing. It's just who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm always confused. I'm like, well, what? I'm also the kind of person that I want to learn lots of things. But once I decided I don't really want to know about that, I just don't want to know about it. But I'm always confused by people who just don't really want to know things. Yeah.
Like, they are not mavens.
They're not. They're I don't know. I don't know the other archetypes. But yeah, so it's fascinating to me to see that. Or people who don't want to, I guess I understand people who don't want to be in higher service or something, but I even won a service award. And the college I went to, our motto was not to be served, but to serve.
Wow.
So it's quite funny to,
when I was reading that. That is so interesting. But yeah, just to speak to the other side of not maven. So I'm not a maven. I'm a scientist. My primary spark archetype is a scientist, which is the love for figuring things out and solving problems, which is 100% me. So if there is, so the two problems I solve professionally is what are people meant to do? So I'm a career clarity coach, just like you. And putting that puzzle together of what is it, what is your ideal next career step? And then the quick question of, okay, now how we can we position you for that and how can you actually land that role? Yeah. And anything in that realm, if it helps me figure out a problem, I can learn. But the moment I'm supposed to learn something that doesn't help me solve something, no, thank you. Don't have time for it. So it's very like my learning instinct is very directed. Like I'll learn anything there is if it helps me solve a problem. If it doesn't help me, no time for it. So, and I think that's a big difference, right? For you, it's like, I still want to know more.
It's like, oh, squirrel, wait. I got to find out what that squirrel's about. Where did that squirrel come from? Where do squirrels come from? Where are these? Yes.
Yes. And maven is actually the most common spark archetype as a primary spark archetype. So I think a lot of listeners can really relate to you. Mm-hmm. And actually, a challenge I see with clients who are mavens, and they often end up being unfulfilled in their work, is that learning opportunities run dry for them.
Yeah.
So they get in a position, they're excited in the beginning, there's lots to learn. 6 months later, they're like, something is missing, I'm not happy. And the cycle continues until they get into a role where there is so much to learn that that doesn't run dry. Have you been, I wonder if you've been through that in your professional life.
Not so much about it's more about promotion opportunities being limited. So I learned the things and I'm like, why can't I get promoted? I know these things. You're asking me. Why what? So I think it's probably more of that than learning opportunities because I can read a book about something else. I can read a book at work.
True. That is all beautiful that you can feel that desire to learn easily by bringing that into your life.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, we were talking earlier. I have twin boys and one is very, very curious about everything. He sits there and he tries to figure it out. He wants to know what this is. What's that? How do I? So they're two, so they couldn't take the test because they can't read yet. But they both think they can read. But I'm really interested. So I am a person and who took the test. How do you use how do you use the results to help someone figure out what they want to do? Because I can kind of see like you said with mavens, like you run out of opportunities. So you want to look for a job that gives you the ability to learn more. But how does that translate into like a practical, this is the kind of job you want?
No, I totally get that question. And so it's first really understanding someone's profile. The first step is I'm a certified Spark Archetype advisor. So we are trained on the process of how to use the results to actually guide a person through that journey. Okay. And using that to inform their decisions. And the first step is a spark conversation, which is really understanding, does it resonate with someone? Because I never want to place someone in a box, right? If you're a maven and you said, no, there's parts that, or all of it doesn't resonate, that's totally fine. Then what does resonate? Mm-hmm. Majority of the time, people are like, whoa, this is me.
Yeah.
I just worked with a client. I'll give you that example because we have the warrior, and she was warrior. I think it was flipped for her. She was primary warrior and shadow maven. And she was not in a leadership role and she didn't consider herself as a leader. And when we went through the spark archetype assessment, she was like, yes, it's not for her about being in the spotlight when she leads, but she really yearns to gather those people and lift that whole team up. And she has never looked herself as a leader, but after we talked her through about how this has shown up in her life, she suddenly realized that, yes, that is what she loves to do, and that's what she's meant to do. So then we're like, okay, you love to gather and lead people. Now let's look at your past experiences and the skills and all the accomplishments you have. What areas are possible for you where you can really tap into that gathering and leading? And she had a lot of experience with community management. And then that led us, putting those pieces together, led her to a position. She just got a role, a position as an executive director for a community, for a housing community. So awesome. It's really tapping into that. She was a events manager before, but no one under her. It was always her doing it. And now being in that new role, it really allows her to do the work that makes her come alive.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Yeah. And like one thing when I was just rereading it for you. So when we talked prior to the podcast, you shared how you love leading women through that really difficult time in their life of making a big transition. And then the warrior says, you're willing to stand in a place of enduring conviction and support so you can lead others through hard things.
Yes.
I felt that was like so aligned with what you had shared about yourself before. Do you feel like that too?
Yes. One of my favorite sayings is, you can do hard things. I say that to myself a lot. Wow. And I say it to my clients too, when they get to that point where they lose some self-belief. But sometimes I have to remind myself, like, you can do hard things. You can do hard things. And for some reason, I find that really resonates with me and helps get me back on the horse.
Wow. And how do you, I'm curious, when you work with women, which similar to my work, it just seems like this huge, big thing to make a career change.
Yeah.
It's scary and it seems so hard. What tools or how do you guide them on this journey that, yes, you can do this hard thing?
I first find out what is it that they really want to do. Because a lot of time I've had clients come to me and they say, I want to change jobs or I want to change careers. And like, okay, well, let's talk about that. Why? And oftentimes it's not that they want to change careers. They may want to change jobs. Sometimes it's not that they want to change jobs. They just don't like their boss. So it's finding out, okay, what is it that you're unhappy with? Mm-hmm. Because if you're unhappy with your boss, changing careers, it's not going to fix it. And changing jobs may not fix it, because if you can't figure out what is going on, like, why does your boss annoy you so much? What is it about that? You're just going to carry those problems along. Like another thing, saying I say a lot is wherever you go, there you are. So I really, the first thing I really do is hone on, okay, so what is it exactly that's bothering you? Because if you don't figure out where you are now, it's hard to make the right decision about where you want to go forward. And oftentimes they decide, oh yeah, I don't actually want to change jobs. I just don't like this. So we work on managing up, figuring out ways to get learning opportunities, promotion opportunities, leadership opportunities so they can move out. So yes, that's generally the first process, is getting some clarity on what is wrong, what actually needs to be fixed to make things better, and then progressing on towards that particular goal.
I love that. And I agree. Clarity is the really big first piece. And yes, one thing I come across, see a lot, and I wonder if you do that too, is that, and I don't want to generalize things, but it tends to be more women who struggle with setting boundaries, and they don't like the role they're in because they work 24/7. They have to take emails, meetings, calls, evenings, weekends, and then they want to make a change because they don't want to have this responsibility night and weekends. But as you said, where you go, there you are. Did I get it right?
Wherever you go, there you are.
Wherever you go, there you are. You go into a new role, and if you don't set those boundaries, it's likely to happen again. Do you encounter that too?
Yes. I'm great at setting boundaries. No one ever had to tell me no was a complete sentence.
No?
Even as a
kid. That's how you do it. Teach us how you do it.
No. Like, and again, both my boys have inherited that for me. I've never had a problem saying no. I've never had a problem setting boundaries. I think it's also because I'm very focused and goal oriented, and it's like, I mean, that really doesn't sound like my issue. So, which is actually really good, because it helps me walk clients, friends, family members through that process. Cause they're like, you're so good at saying no. I said, yeah. And people don't believe me the first couple of times, but then I realize when I say no, I actually mean no. And if you force me to say why, I mean, no, you're probably not going to like the answer. You will get an answer like, well, I don't want to, and I don't have to, so I am not going to. And so, yes, that was a long answer to your question. I find that a lot. I think it's mostly women, because we are taught by society to be people pleasers, to ease the road to whatever, to make things okay. If something needs to be done, we're supposed to be the ones to do it. So I think that's a societally taught lesson that's forced on girls, I guess, and then some women.
Agreed. And I think the good thing here is, because it is taught, it also means we learned it, we can learn something else.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with the people pleasing and having a hard time saying no, there's so much fear of what will happen if I say no.
Yeah.
How do you, because you don't seem to have this fear. What goes on in your mind where you're like, okay, if I say no to my manager, there could be negative repercussions, or maybe they don't like me anymore. How can you just help people who struggle with that of saying like, no, I just say no and it's okay. How do you do it?
The first thing that I do is find out what really needs to be done, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
A lot of times bosses ask you to do things that it's not so much, well, that's not my job. It's just that, okay, I can do that. But it also means I'm going to have to work later tonight or over the weekend. So I start, and what I advise people to start by figuring out, okay, and let them know, like, here's what I got on my plate. What's your priority? Because I only have time to do one of these things. Suggesting that someone else do it, but give a real name, like, oh, well, I can do this. I'm currently working on this. Would you rather I work on this? And maybe Jessica could do, I don't know, Jessica's the imaginary person to my left. Maybe Jessica, you know, would be able to do it. She's much better at this. Jessica may not love you for it, but you don't always have to do it. You can always offer a different, offer an alternative solution to the problem. Because generally bosses just want it done. They don't care who does it. They just want it done.
That's such a good point. And I love how you also started with the transparency of saying, like, I can do it, but then something else has to be moved back in priority.
Yeah.
People manage this. I think they don't even at that time, they don't know that this and this and this and this is on your plate and you're supposed to all do all that. They just can't keep track of all of that. So they're like, do this. Then you have to, like, take that moment to educate them and, like, yes, but. And that's okay to do.
Yeah. And I think it's particularly hard because I'm trying to think if there is an exception. I think all of my clients are salaried. It's easier to do if you're hourly, because then when they start looking at, oh, I got to pay time and a half, fine. But if, once you're salaried, they're like, they don't think, of, they can barely keep up what they're doing, but they don't think about the ramifications because it doesn't really affect them if you're working over the weekend. So it doesn't come out of their budget. You're salaried. So that's why you have to be really clear about what is it that needs to be done. Do you really have to do it? And you know, why it needs to be done? You have to do it with a certain elan, a certain attitude, but it can be done. And like I said, most bosses, they don't know everything that's on their plate. There's no way they're going to know everything that's on your plate too.
Exactly.
So just give them a heads up.
That is such a good point. And I do think I'm in the process of learning that no is a complete sentence. So I'm a recovering people pleaser and I'm not always good at it, but I do think that sharing more about this is why this is going to be a challenge for me to do it. Mm-hmm. And I need your help in then moving something else off my plate is really, really helpful.
Yes. I mean, you can always text me and I'll be like, oh, this is how you say no. I do get those.
Oh my God, for all the listeners, if you ever feel like you're not able to say no, text Lauren.
Yes. If you want to get out of something and you're not sure how to handle it, I am a good person to ask. I always said I'm diplomatically direct. And people's like, you're just like so direct. I'm like, yeah, but I can be very diplomatic, but I get my point across. So I say I'm diplomatically direct, which has been a very useful skill.
100%. I think you're going to be getting 100,000 text messages a day going forward from people who will need help saying no.
Yes. Yes. No, that's not going to work for me. But the thing is, like, we also do it with people who aren't our bosses. Like, it's one thing if someone has control over your paycheck, but if it's just like, Jessica also apparently lives next door to me. I know Jessica, the next door neighbor, if she just wants to be bossy or whatever, and you don't want to do it, just you have to learn to be a self-advocate. And that's across the board in your personal life and your professional life. And I've had to advocate for myself from a young age. So I think that's why I've gotten much better at setting boundaries and standing by those boundaries. But a lot of times we're great advocating for other people, but then when it comes to ourselves, we're like, no, I don't know. But yeah, I've learned the hard way that you have to advocate for yourself, because if you don't, it sometimes is literally a matter of life and death. Like for me, it almost was, you know? So, yeah, I'll tell the story real quick, because I just realized that's just like a cliffhanger. So when I gave birth to my twin boys, I almost died. I was put in a coma for almost a week and I almost died. I had all these surgeries. I don't remember any of this. I just remember waking up to Chucky because I woke up on October 1st and someone was like, hey, I know what we'll do. We'll leave on the Science Network or the Sci-Fi Network. And it's going to be October. So it's all of the scary stuff. So I come out of a coma to Chucky, the killer doll. I was so upset. And it was the ICU. And I didn't know. I was like, ah. But anyway, so I really had to advocate for myself to make sure that I got the care that I needed, particularly after I got out of the hospital, because I was told, no, that's normal. That's normal. And finally, I just had to say, this is not normal. You need to check. Yes, you need to check. And then it turns out I needed another, it was outpatient surgery, but I had to have another surgery because I had these huge blood clots that they were just telling me like, oh no, that's totally normal. It wasn't normal. So I was great advocating for myself before, but now I'm like super great. And so, and I've become like a self-advocate. Yes. A super advocate.
Wow. I mean, I'm so sorry that you went through this. I cannot even imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I feel blessed that one, I recovered, and two, because there's so many, particularly like when we have three times the mortality rate for childbirth. So I'm glad that I had the support system that I did. But what I found is that that made me so much more passionate with my coaching, because I'm like, we have to stand up for ourselves and get what we deserve, to ask for what we want and get what we deserve, because oftentimes people won't go to battle for you if you aren't willing to go to battle for yourself.
Yeah.
So,
inspiring stories. Thank you for sharing that. And also thank you for sharing it with us that it can be a matter of life and death if you do not advocate for yourself.
Yes. Trust your gut.
Trust your gut. Exactly. That's what I was just saying. Was it your gut that was like, this is not right? And you were able to trust and speak up on it?
Yeah. They're my first and only kids. I guess technically my first and second kid, but my first and only pregnancy. And I didn't know what was normal, what wasn't normal, but I knew this wasn't right. And either we're going to find out what is wrong, or we're going to keep trying until we do. But there was lots of blood clots. So it could have easily gone through my system, gone to my heart, gone to my brain. I went to law school, not medical school. But yeah, so it's scary to think about what would have happened if I hadn't stood up for myself. But I did. And so I help women, whether they're clients or friends or just people on the street, stand up for themselves. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be mean about it. Sometimes you do, but most of the time you don't, but you just, does take courage a lot of times, because you're stepping out of what you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because the more you do it, the further out you'll get, and the further out your comfort zone will get, and the further you will get.
I love that you're advocating for women advocating for themselves, or for anyone to advocate for themselves, and that you really have that experience of this isn't just something that's good to do, but it can really change your life or be a matter of life and death. And you have to, it's not a choice. You have to advocate for yourself.
Yes.
Even in your career, it's not as severe as what you went through with the medical and the blood clots. But when you take on more and more and more work and never say no, at some point you're going to burn out. And that can have very severe health consequences.
Yes.
And your gut was probably telling you very early on already, like, something is wrong. I'm not liking this. Something is wrong. And then we're so taught to be like, push it aside, keep working, push that feeling aside, keep working. But the longer we ignore that feeling of something is wrong and don't listen to it and then speak up for it, the more it's going to impact us.
Yeah. And speaking of your career and your gut feeling, I think a lot of times we know when it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Like, we know whether it's a horrible issue of like some kind of harassment, or you're putting in all that time and you're doing all of that work, but you're not getting any of the praise, attention, raises, or promotions. And that's when it's time to leave. It really is. And sometimes we think, if I just work harder, if I just work smarter. No, it comes a point where you just have to go, and you know when that point is.
Yes.
So again, trust your gut, prepare to make that leap when it's time.
I agree. And it's not about quitting that day. But the moment you feel it's like, my gut is telling me I need to go, start taking the steps. Exactly. Instead of pushing that aside and putting your head down and just keep going, be like, okay, I know this is not where I'm going to be forever. I don't have to quit today, but what small step can I take this week? What small step can I take next week to have a plan to move out of this step by step?
Exactly. It's like, oh, you know, that extra hour you're going to spend on this random thing that somebody, not even your boss, somebody else didn't want to do. So you volunteered or you got voluntold. You can spend that hour updating your LinkedIn profile or your resume or going to a networking event. So I'm like, you have the time. It's about prioritizing. And I have lots of sayings. The other saying I like to say is, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So keep that resume up to date. Keep talking to people, even if you're not looking for it, especially if you're not looking for a job. Yeah. Talk to people. Even you know, if you're an introvert like me, it's like, find something interesting. Everyone has something interesting about them. I think I've only had one person that I found like, wow, you're duller than dishwater.
I've found one person like that too in my entire life, but only one.
Yes.
My entire life.
Yes. That just is funny. This is totally irrelevant, but it's a short story. So my friend and I, one of my best friends, the same thing happened to us. I'm like, oh, I dated this really dumb guy. He's probably the dumbest guy I've ever met. And she said the same thing. And it turned out it was the same guy.
No way.
We still laugh about that. I'm like, and we weren't even in the same city.
No way.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It was like, oh, even though you're way over there, I'm on the other coast. It's like, it's the same dull guy or person.
Oh, that is so funny.
I got off topic.
Yes. But there's a good point. If your work feels like this dull guy, it's like, okay, I don't want to. Like, it's similar to a relationship, right? Like if you get to a point like, I don't want to stay in this, and then we spend more time at work than we actually spend at home, when you're like, oh no, I don't want to stay in this environment forever, get ready.
Yeah,
get ready. And I'm also wondering, I think I heard you talking about that before, sometimes it's not necessarily that our work changes, our career changes, but that our personal priorities change.
Yes.
How do you help your women when their personal priorities change?
Well, I ask them, you know, okay, so what are your priorities? And most of the time, working with mid-career women, their priorities have changed. And that's fundamentally like why they're like, this isn't satisfying before. I was really focused on making the most amount of money. I'm okay now. I want to do other things, whether it's start a family or get in a relationship or just focusing, you know, read a book, something else. So I ask them, okay, so what are your priorities now? And then I ask them, okay, so tell me how you spend your time. Just run me through a regular day. And if how they're spending their time doesn't match up with what they say their priorities are, you look at that. And it was like, okay, is this really a priority? Kind of going back to what you were saying, that 10% of the people who don't resonate with whatever their results were for the spark, it's probably because they're living in the world of should. They're living in Shouldville. They're like, oh, this should be the answer. So they're like, oh, no, it doesn't resonate. That's not really the real answer. So people will say like, yeah, I want to start a family, but they don't really want to start a family. It's just that they're getting to the age where everyone's pressuring them to start a family, or maybe they, you know, anything. It's like, so looking at what is that disconnect? Is it just because they haven't figured out how to make that switch and you fall into what's comfortable? Or is it, that's not really a priority. That's not your priority. It might be someone else's, but it's not your priority.
I really love that you bring in the should, because we have so many of those shoulds around, and it affects us in personal, professionally, across. And I think it's something that affects all of us.
Yes,
right?
Like, absolutely.
But women, especially, like, you're in your 30s, you should have kids. And if you don't, something's wrong with you. And it's like, no, if I don't want that, it's okay. Like, you have a choice.
Yeah.
Or maybe you went to law school, so you should be a lawyer.
Yep.
And Like, no, I went to law school, but that gave me a lot of skills that I can use in a lot of different ways.
I didn't do any of that. I had my kids at 42.
Wrong, right? Who's telling you that this is not what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your life. That. You live it.
Yeah.
You're not bringing anyone else.
Have one life. And yeah. I think at the end of your life, if you look back and you said, okay, I did what I was supposed to do and what everyone else told me to do, and I lived by all those shoulds, you might have more regrets than if you look back and said, well, I didn't do what others told me to do or what I should be doing, but yeah. I did what I wanted to do. And it was hard and I went against the grain, but I did what my gut felt right.
And to be clear, I'm just gonna speak for myself. We're not saying you should be selfish and you should only think of yourself. We're talking about things that primarily concern you. It's not a matter of hurting somebody else.
100%.
Like, yeah. Like, what career do you want? Okay, exactly. Well, I always wanted to be a vet, but my parents want me to be a cardiac surgeon. You know, that kind of thing. So that's what we're talking about. We're not 100%. Talking about like, just, I only think of myself. It's about, I mean, and people know the difference. They know, but it's, again, they're used to acting a certain way. So it's very easy to fall back into old patterns. So you don't have to be selfish, but you also don't have to be selfless.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like there is a really beautiful balance you can find in advocating for yourself and being clear about the things you want to do and don't want to do in your life. But still being an amazing mother, an amazing friend, an amazing wife, or whatever roles you choose for yourself in your life, and finding that balance. It's never going to be absolutely perfect, right? I love my work and I love my kids, and I'm trying to do the best in both areas, and it's not a perfect balance, but it's as good as it, I can make it work, and I'm happy with what it is. But is there a voice inside my head that says like, oh yeah, you should be spending more time there, or you should be doing more of that, and you should be doing more here? It happens. And to be clear, like, okay, I'm doing my best in those areas.
Exactly. Do your best, and your best is going to fluctuate day to day, hour to hour. And recognize that and be okay with it. Just try again later.
Yeah.
And those calls are like, you're busy. Try again later. That's
And that's what happens through our life, right? When you're talking about changing personal priorities. In our 20s, we feel very different. At least I felt very different. Like, I want to be successful in my career. I want to make money. I want to move up. And then that changes. Once you get older, you're like, okay, my career is still a priority, but there's also other things that are really important.
I was just flailing around. I don't remember doing anything of significance. I don't know if I had a focus. Making it to my 30s.
Yeah.
That's where my focus, my 20s.
Right. Yeah. And it just, we change as we grow. And then sometimes we are in a career that we love. And it's interesting when you work with people who they knew what they wanted to be at 10 years old. And then they went to school, went to college, and they did that. And then 10 years later, they're like, I loved it, but not anymore.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to also make that change of like, yes, I did invest 20 years of my life into this. And I love doing it, but I've changed and my career needs to change with me. It's not necessarily throwing it all away, but I need to take this into a different direction.
Yeah. I mean, and a career can become a job too.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, if you're like, I love this career, but now it's not challenging. It's not fulfilling in some way. It's okay for that to be your right now job while you figure out and transition to something else. That's okay. Like you said, it doesn't matter. Like, oh, I invested all this stuff. You still learned all those things that you've learned. You still have all those experiences and skills and talents. It's not like that investment was for naught. You have gathered that information. You have dividends for that investment. You're just deciding to spend it in a different way.
Yes, exactly. I love that metaphor, that way of thinking it of you have that. You're not gonna put that in the trash can and start from scratch, but where do you invest it next?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's just pivoting and moving. Life is, there's so much out there. Oh, it was, I think it's Auntie Mame that, I think it was a book and then a movie. And she said, life is a buffet and most poor people are, she didn't say people. She said the B word. Most poor bees are starving. Basically, it's like there's so much out there and people just like, I gotta stay in my lane. But I'm like, it's a highway. There's more than one lane.
Yes.
Which lanes?
Yes.
So,
as we're coming to the end of our conversation today, what advice would you give someone who feels stuck if they are only eating the same pasta dish from the buffet their whole life, or they're staying in this one highway lane and they're listening to our conversation, be like, I want to explore these other lanes, but I feel so stuck where I am. What words of wisdom do you want to leave them with?
I would start with saying that it's okay and it's normal. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't have to be satisfied just because everyone said you should. Mm-hmm. It's okay to grow, because that's really what it is. It's growth. And yeah, you should grow as you learn more things, you get older, you experience more things. So that would be my first. No, it's okay. It's normal. You could be thankful for what you've had and what you've gained, but also want to move on. And then just start making, I'm a list maker, but start just thinking about what you want to do. Like, you know, even if it's just off the wall, I want to be an acrobatic juggler. I don't know what that means, but let's just say that's what, you know, just look into it. It doesn't cost you anything to look into it. And, you know, you don't have to quit your job to go join the circus. You can just start figuring out how to juggle. So you can take it slowly and get there. But most importantly, start.
I'm 100% with you on take that first step and start.
Yes.
The moment something feels this isn't where you're meant to be, put one foot in front of the other, no matter how small these steps are.
Exactly. Yes.
Lauren, this was amazing. For anyone who wants to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
I'm mostly on LinkedIn in terms of platforms at Lauren Young Durbin. And you can check out my website, tychecoaching.com, T-Y-C-H-E, tychecoaching.com. And you can see the different services I have. You can see the blogs. You can basically just see what's going on. So I hope to see some of you on LinkedIn. That'd be cool.
Yes, definitely follow Lauren on LinkedIn. You share amazing content. I'm a huge fan of your content.
Thank you.
If anyone is not following Lauren yet, please do so. And that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you're feeling inspired and ready to tackle your career changes and challenges head on. If you're not following me yet, please follow me on LinkedIn, Teresa A. White, so you don't miss next week's LinkedIn Live. And if you're ready and looking to gain direction in your career, you can book a free consultation with me on careerbloomcoaching.com/consultation, or simply DM me the word clarity and I will send you all the information. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and I will see you next week.